from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into The Drive. It is the Thursday edition. Hope everybody having a good day thus far. I mean, weather really nice so far today. We'll see. Maybe everything can just push back and happen overnight for all of the action that is planned for the upcoming weekend, which we will talk about here on the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan with you from the WOW Business Studio.
That's right. You can get 2 months free on super fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number one of The Drive brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and where they also are the sponsor of our hotline. We'd love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline, and it is day one of the Masters. A beautiful day, man. It is. I mean, that's when you know spring is here. You see all the gorgeous colors and the immaculate course there in Augusta for the Masters.
And looking at the leaderboard right now, I believe it's Justin Rose.
It is Justin Rose with a one-stroke lead, and he is through 13. You have seven other players under par in the clubhouse, led by Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama, each at 3-under.
And you've got former Masters champion Patrick Reed at 2-under as well, a strong start to the tournament.
I was going
to
let you read the I'll read a few of the names. You can read a couple of the others. I'll give you Webb Simpson, Patrick Reed at 2-under. And let you take the rest.
Okay, so I'll take Zalatoris.
That one's not as bad. Will Zalatoris. And then Christian.
I'm gonna go with having never heard this name pronounced.
It looks
before.
Like Bezudenhout.
I'm gonna. You know what? I think I'm gonna go. I think you're close. I'm gonna go Bezudenhout.
Bezudenhout? Yeah, it may be Bezudenhout, Bezudenhout.
Noah, do you know how to pronounce
it? It looks like Bezudenhout to me. It sounds like you just sneezed.
It's either.
And I'm saying that to you after your sneeze.
Yeah, Bezudenhout. Bezudenhout. He's sitting there at a.
Bezudenhout to you too.
Well, he's there at 2-under, so he might be in the running.
Always interesting the first couple of days when there are some names that are not the household names. And most, you know, sometimes I can say yet. Other times it's that you may not have to worry about pronouncing again.
A big group of golfers at even par as well. Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, and Colin Morikawa. Some of the more notable names among that group.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on that. While I've got the opportunity, let me mention something that I believe is it underway now. When's Auburn High baseball? 4:30. Okay, got a national top 20 matchup coming up with Auburn High and Carrollton of Georgia. Carrollton, the number 9 team in the nation. Auburn High, number 19. So that'll be coming up over on sister station. W. Lee.
We're going to talk with Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer at the bottom of the hour. Talk to him every Thursday here on The Drive about you've got spring practice resuming for the Auburn football team. The transfer portal seems to be beaming college basketball players.
Players popping out of the portal now.
That's right.
You know, more and more every day. I mean, Alabama picking up Namari Burnett today, so, adding to their very highly ranked national class.
Let's begin here with the conceit that the roster can change a lot between right now and the start of basketball season. Mm-hmm. Where are you on the 2021-2022 Auburn men's basketball team?
Let me know. I mean, tell me who's going to be added for sure. Will Scoot Henderson reclassify and sign with Auburn? If so, then that is a huge addition. Is Walker Kessler headed to Auburn? He had that Zoom meeting with Gonzaga yesterday. I'm hearing that Noah Gurley is headed Tuscaloosa way.
Jeffrey Lee had Desi Sills, maybe.
Sills appears to be the next guy. I mean, yeah, we talked about it a little yesterday. Auburn really appears to sort of be in a waiting mode with some transfer portal players because of Scoot Henderson. And they've put some front court players on the back burner while they pursue Walker Kessler. And what you hope is that they get those players that they're after, or that the players that they put on hold don't decide to go somewhere else while you're waiting, and then, you know, you don't get your first or second choice.
But it's odd because there's reason to be reserved in your optimism about next year's team. And it seemed like throughout the entire basketball season, there was an air of, well, wait till next year. Wait until you see what this team looks like next season. And now here we are a couple of days into the offseason, and I don't think you can say with any confidence how the Auburn basketball team. I mean, you know that you're bringing in a top five recruit, biggest recruit in school history.
Right.
You think that you're going to add players in the transfer portal.
I'm sure that Auburn will add a player or two in the transfer portal. We're just not sure which one.
Do you think Alan Flanagan's coming back?
I haven't heard anything that said he wouldn't, but there's sure no guarantee that he comes back.
And there's a long. I mean, the last we heard of Alan Flanagan and Jalen Williams, they were waiting for feedback on the draft. Right, the four players sort of announced at was that right? Weren't there four players?
No, I don't know that we ever heard that Jalen was.
Okay, so maybe it was.
We were just speculating that he could.
Okay, so I mean it's just and yes, there's. The possibility that you add players between now and the start of the season that drastically change the outlook of what this team could do. Mm-hmm. But I think it's gone from, and it's the departures of players like Sharif Cooper and potentially JT Thor, Justin Powell.
Right.
We know is gone as well. It's changed it from just wait until you see this team next year to, I mean, you got work to do to stay competitive in the league right now, let alone, you know, starting as a preseason top five or top 10 championship contending, you know, sort of dark horse team. You got work to do to stay, you know, if your goal is to be a top half of the SEC team next season, you've got to hope some things break your way in the transfer portal, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Now back to Alan Flanagan, though. I would think, I would be more surprised if he doesn't come back, unless he gets some great reviews from the NBA. Since his dad is an assistant coach at Auburn, I mean, it's other guys I can see looking at other options.
His draft stock,
I would think Allen comes back.
It seemed like it fluctuated, you know, depending on the place you look at. I have no idea how Alan Flanagan is viewed as a pro prospect right now, and, you know, whether or not he would be making the right decision by pursuing a professional career or coming back to Auburn for another year. But it's another, it's another variable on what next season looks like.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. You're right. The days of wait till next year or watch us build are, I think those are pretty much gone.
No, there's no.
Yeah, I think it's like put together the best team you can every year for this year, and not be counting on what you're going to have back or what you're building for next year.
And that's great news if you need to get a lot better really quickly.
Right.
That it's not a gradual process anymore. The belief is, I mean, more than ever before in college basketball, if you're a program like Indiana or Arizona that just had to fire a coach, there's the hope that if you hire the right guy and he can talk to the right people in the transfer portal and the right mm-hmm. freshmen, you can be a lot better next year than you were this year, regardless of the talent that was left for you by the previous coach. The downside is, if you're a program that feels good about a lot of your young talent and you want to say, well, let's see what this looks like if you're trying to build something and you want to see what it looks like in a year or 2 years with the same group of guys, you got to worry about re-recruiting them after every single season now in a way that you didn't in years past in college basketball. And I don't think it's going away.
I don't either. I mean, the players, there's no way you can keep an entire roster happy. I mean, winning will keep some players happy. Some players will be at the school they've always dreamed of being, of attending or playing ball for. But even that, it's going to be difficult if they're not getting the minutes that they hope to be getting.
And so Auburn is still in play for a lot of targets that the coaching staff finds intriguing in the transfer portal. Did you mention the young man from Furman, who I know is
Noah Gurley? I'm getting indications that he's headed to Tuscaloosa,
and it sounds like this weekend it will be made official wherever he's going to go.
Well, see,
he's down to 8 or 10.
Yeah,
right?
he is announcing, I believe, on Sunday. Walker Kessler expected to make an announcement tomorrow or Saturday. And I think that's what the feeling had been. If Auburn gets Kessler, Gurley goes to Alabama. But Auburn has not been pushing Gurley as hard, and Alabama has.
You think Auburn's getting Kessler?
I don't know. I haven't really heard anything after his visit with Gonzaga yesterday.
Who we talked to Jake on Tuesday, right? Jake was pretty confident in Walker Kessler to Auburn.
Well, you would think, I mean, Gonzaga, I know distance is not the deciding factor or anything, but Gonzaga is getting the number one prospect in the country who plays the same position as Walker Kessler.
You know, I just can't help. You know, I thought Auburn had, and I still would.
Is Drew Timmy coming back?
I'm not in the prediction game because there's so many different things that could influence what
Walker Kessler. But I mean, if Drew Timmy's coming back at Gonzaga and they're getting the top player in the country who's a 7-footer, I mean, does Walker Kessler want to go there and get less playing time than he did at Carolina?
I mean, it depends on what he's prioritizing, because there's also, if it's about playing time, I would toss out there that there's a different head coach at North Carolina right now who singled out Walker Kessler at his press conference and talked about his desire to bring him back to North Carolina. And I can't help but wonder if the reception Walker Kessler would get if he came back would almost be like hero's welcome is maybe an overstatement.
He was a 5-star.
But he was a 5-star, yes. And it would be very well received on the North Carolina campus if he decided to drop out of the transfer portal and stay there. There's also the rumor about that he's you know, that he desires to play on the same team as Justin Powell, which was talked out there. I don't think Tennessee's
I think
that
yes,
was in Kentucky circles.
That I think that was coming from Kentucky.
Yeah, that was,
and with Kentucky not getting Justin Powell, I don't think so.
No, it doesn't sound like Tennessee's in play. But yeah, we'll know more soon regarding Walker Kessler, who's been one of the most talked about entrants into the much ballyhooed transfer portal this offseason in college basketball.
And we'll talk to Justin Ferguson about that and much more. And of course, Auburn getting ready for its second scrimmage, weather permitting. I mean, I guess they'll still scrimmage if it's just raining. If it's storming, I would think that probably goes by the wayside.
Well, I imagine
they could practice over in the in the indoor facility,
and they'd have to follow the lightning protocol, right?
Oh yes.
So there's if it, storms would disrupt
and
the
it
plan
doesn't
for,
look good weather wise.
Yeah, let me see what's the forecast for like noon.
The forecast I saw was like 80% Friday evening, 90%. Chance of thunderstorms Saturday morning.
So
I don't know. We'll check and see
hopefully,
what the latest
hopefully
is.
It holds up.
Yep. But yes, we'll talk football as well. Baseball today, Butch Thompson spent a little time with the media as Auburn hosting another top 5 team in Mississippi State coming in. So we've got a lot to discuss with you today here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. We'll go ahead and get to our first break of the afternoon. Again, 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline. Come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. Let's get back to The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Bill and Dan here in the Wow Business Studio. Drew at the controls. And we welcome your calls, questions, comments, anything on your mind sports-wise. Again, we'll keep you updated on the Masters, where Justin Rose, with a one-stroke lead, he is through 14. And Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama are one-stroke back right now, but still tons of golfers out on the course.
Yeah, I look at this leaderboard. And I mean, don't rule anyone out, because it's not like the leads are so large, insurmountable. Whenever Patrick Reed is near the top of the list at the Masters or really any of the major golf events, you always get the feeling he could linger for the entire weekend. So that's a name I would keep an eye on.
334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to The Drive locally. You want to run any of the audio that we've accumulated this week? We got assistant coaches. We had offensive coaches on Monday, defensive coaches on Wednesday, as Auburn gets ready for hopefully a scrimmage on Saturday, open scrimmage for Auburn students, faculty, and staff and their friends and families.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. We got to run a little bit of Nick Eason yesterday, the new Auburn defensive line coach, in his first his first interaction with the media.
So, what about maybe an offensive
guy? You want to try little Cornelius Williams?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would be good to get Cornelius Williams, who talked about, among other things, his experiences and his extensive background in the state of Alabama. So, of course, the new receivers coach working with a lot of inexperienced talent there at Auburn. We got that ready, Drew? All right, let's let you hear Cornelius Williams as he spent a little time with the media on Monday.
Well, these guys have definitely, tried to step up to the challenge. I mean, it's a challenge for all of us, to be honest with you, because of, everybody learning something new, doing a bunch of different things. The teaching may be a little bit different. So I think these guys have definitely, stepped up to the challenge, and, they take pride in trying to be the best at their craft. And, I think they've done a pretty solid job thus far. We got a lot of things we can continue to work on and get better at. And a guy to me that's kind of stood out, and somebody who I was already familiar with just from recruiting at other places I've been, was Javaris Johnson. And he's been one of the most consistent guys.
Next question is from Justin Ferguson.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about Malcolm Johnson Jr. We didn't get to see him much last year, and he reclassified and right. All that. What does he got to bring to the table as a receiver to your guys' group?
I think with Malcolm, he was a speed guy coming out of high school, and I think that he'll be a guy, that's going to continue to develop and continue to get better as a receiver, because, like I said, he came in just having really, really good overall speed, and I think that he's going to be able to blow the top off and do some things, getting some speed sweeps and moving him around, that's going to definitely help us out.
Next is a question from Mark Murphy.
Yeah, Coach, talk about the importance of the receivers staying alive when things don't go as planned, and, watching your Troy guys play, that's something I noticed about them.
Right, that's very important, and that's something that Coach Harrison and Coach Bobo has continued to hit on, and that's something that we got to continue to work at is – working on the scramble drill. And we have to be really, really good at the scramble drill, because we do have an athletic quarterback, and he can get out of the pocket and he can create plays with his legs. And I think that's something that we just have to continue to harp on and continue to get better at as we go throughout spring.
Next question is from
And we've definitely been working on that for sure.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Question from Bill Cameron.
Yeah, Coach, Bill Cameron from The Drive on ESPN 106.7 here in town. Sure. Kobe, with Wojciech out right now and injured, I guess Kobe's about the most experienced guy that you have. And that's odd for a guy that's just wrapping up his freshman year. What have you seen from him so far this spring?
Well, Kobe, the thing with Kobe is he's actually really, in my opinion, a natural-born leader. Like, he's a guy, he's extremely strong. He works hard, and the thing that Kobe has to continue to do is just to continue to work on his craft, continue to get better. But he shows and flashes that he has the talent to be really, really special.
Question from Jordan Hill.
Hey, Cornelius, Jordan Hill from Opelika Auburn News. I want to ask about what this opportunity to coach at Auburn meant for you. I mean, being from this state and having coached in this state, when this opportunity came up, what it meant to
Well, I think the biggest thing with having this opportunity, this is huge, not only for myself, but for my family and you know, everybody involved. It was a lot of people that helped me get to this point in my life, not just coaching career, but in my life. You know, a lot of going through, you know, a bunch of different things to help build, you know, myself up, my character. You know, and I think, man, growing up and being in this state and growing up and being around either Alabama or Auburn, you know, in my high school, I mean, I went to Hoover. You know, had a bunch of people that went to Alabama. We had a bunch of people that went to Auburn. So you're kind of in between. And you know, growing up, you know, coming from my high school, a bunch of guys getting highly recruited. Shoot, I wanted to go to either one of them, whoever wanted to take me, to be honest with you. And because I knew that was being at the highest level, in my opinion. And, you know, the competition at this level is the best in the country. And, you know, being from this state, everybody knows what this is about. And, you know, when I finally got this opportunity, or when I even had the chance, or they even gave me the call, you know, I was so excited, but at the same time I was nervous, but at the same time I was, you know, I felt like everything that I've done up to this point in my life, my career, from a coaching standpoint, it prepared me for this. And you know, I'm just thankful and blessed for the opportunity, and that, you know, Coach Harrison saw that in me. Because all I wanted throughout this whole thing and going through the coaching was this profession is just a chance and an opportunity. And he's given that to me, and I'm going to take it and run with it.
Let's go to Nathan King.
Hey, Cornelius, Nathan King, 24/7 Sports. Just kind of on that same note, I mean, like you said, growing up in the state and then jumping so many different assistant jobs within the state, what do you think that's done to help you, or has it already helped you in your time at Auburn? On the recruiting trail, kind of understanding all the different programs, and like you said, understanding the importance of Auburn and Alabama from a young age.
Right. I think, man, you hit on a good point of being all over the state, because I really have. You know, I started off at South Alabama as a GA. I went to North Alabama and coached there, coached receivers, went to Jacksonville State, went to UAB, Troy. I mean, so being all over like that was definitely huge for me. Just getting and building relationships, you know, throughout the state, being around a bunch of great coaches and being around a bunch of great high school coaches, seeing and meeting those guys and even, I mean, you know, kind of stealing ideas from those guys and, you know, just understanding how those guys work and do things, and then seeing how they develop their players and their care for their young people that they're bringing up. And even being from this state, you know, family in Mobile, my whole family's in Mobile. Moved to Birmingham at a young age, and then a bunch of guys knowing me down there and then knowing me up north, I mean, in the middle of the state, and then playing at, in my opinion, one of the best high schools in the country, you know, and everybody knowing who we were in this state, it was a very big deal, and it's helped tremendously.
Question from Brian Matthews.
Hi, Cornelius. Thanks for speaking to us. Want to ask you about the overall talent level. How do you feel about your group? And then particularly want to ask you about Elijah Canyon. What stood out about him so far?
Okay. From a talent level, in my opinion, you know, we have the guys. But the biggest thing that the issue is going to be that we're young, you know, and these guys aren't experienced. Like, you know, you said this, I mean, it's only been a few guys that have actually had some real game action. And everybody here knows how it is in this league, you know, playing against some of the best competition in the country. So the biggest deal is going to be for us is really, you know, putting in the work, the time, the effort to be extremely detailed, you know, and work to be the best we can possibly be in this group. And that's going to take, you know, that take place where Coach say, you know, go 1-0. And that's from the time that you wake up, you know, to the time that you finish at night. We have to do every little thing right in order to be, you know, a much better group and continue to, you know, gain that experience. And with Canyon, he has done a really good job. That kid, he really works hard. He busts his butt out there. He, you know, he goes 100% when he's out there. And, you know, he's a guy that it really means a lot to him. And he is a guy that he's always asking me questions. Even before I came in here, he was calling me, asking me, hey, coach, you know, what's this or what's that? I mean, we were sitting there talking right before, literally before I came in here to talk to you guys. And it's, man, that to me, when a guy does that, that means that he cares. And those are the kind of guys that we want to have on this in this program and, of course, in the receiving room. But, I mean, you want guys that want to learn, that love the game, that love football, that want to come over here and be coached up. And that's what I've seen out of him and the rest of the guys.
That is Cornelius Williams, Auburn wide receivers coach, spending a little time with the media as we head to the bottom of the hour break. On the other side, Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. So stick with us. We're a quarter of the way done here on the Thursday Drive.
Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio, and we're pleased to be joined now, as we are every Thursday at this time, by Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
Man, doing pretty well. Glad that at least thus far, the rain, I thought it was supposed to be raining all day today, but it's a shame we don't have a lot of events scheduled for today with the way the weather is right now, because it's going to be a busy weekend, hopefully, weather permitting.
Yeah, we're not supposed to shout out too many specific brands, you know, non-sponsors here. Justin and I have been excited about a couple of developments here in town. So we've been talking earlier today, and I know he's excited about the direction that Auburn might be taking. Justin,
more
you're
a more Texan angle.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so we'll begin with golf, because we never do. And I know, Justin, you're one of the, you're part of the contingent of the Auburn beat that gets really excited, in Masters weekend and really for all the major golf events. And your thoughts thus far on the Masters, and maybe a golfer or two that you think will be in the hunt on the final day.
Yeah, so we had a few people ask us for our Masters prediction. Painter and I, in our podcast we posted today, and our pick, we kind of came down to the same one. We're believers in John Rahm this week. You know, pretty quiet day for him, but, you know, just stay in contention early on and try to make a run on the weekend, I think, is big for him. I like Rahm, but, I mean, if you look at it right now, that Justin Rose is just tearing the course up, and it's really, really fascinating to see a guy like him. You know, he's had so many really good early rounds at Augusta. I would love to see him kind of hang on and make a run here. And then the other one I'm really curious about, and another guy that I've been really, really having a lot of fun watching over the last year or so, is Colin Morikawa. You know, I got a shout out the California native over there, but he's done a really, really good job of ball striking, and he's very consistent around the greens. We'll see if he can hang on, but like he has that game that should really help him like catch fire at Augusta if he can get rolling, because you know he doesn't you know bail out and get way too aggressive with his irons like somebody like Bryson did, and you know Bryson had a rough Thursday, so that wasn't too surprising to me. And I guess finally one more, Hideki Matsuyama. I would love to see him finally win a major.
Yeah, Morikawa won that won the PGA last year, mm-hmm. in the return, the first big golf event after the hiatus for COVID, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, this is as a star, maybe his first time with a big crowd. You know, if he's in the hunt this weekend, it could be a little different. But yeah, Colin Morikawa, among many. Guys with a pretty good shot, it looks like going into the end of the first day in Augusta. Now we'll pivot to the Auburn stuff. That's a little more familiar week to week when we talk to you, Justin. We were just talking about the basketball transfer portal in the first segment of the show, and it is interesting how much of Auburn's roster is still up in the air. Going into next season, it might just be a sign of the times. That's what basketball roster management is now. So I'm sort of curious as to your level of optimism for the 2021-2022 team, with the understanding that we don't know who a lot of these players necessarily are.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's spots open and there are plenty of players out there. The portal is bigger than ever. Some big name guys that Auburn has been going after have decided to go elsewhere. But I mean, they've got some big name targets still out there. You know, that you can kind of lean on. You know, as options moving forward. And I think everybody wants to talk. You know, of course, about Walker Kessler and the fact that Kessler. You know, Auburn came close to getting him the first time around, and he's transferring, and a lot of people think he's got a really good shot, and he's got a skill set that I think would add something new to the front court for Auburn that they haven't had, even with as much talent as they've got up there, especially if JT Thor comes back. Xavier Pinson, I mean, you could get one of the most experienced point guards in the SEC and a guy that would fit right with that style that Bruce Pearl likes to play. You know, that's a big one as well. People want to ask about Noah Gurley, the Furman transfer, big skilled forward that I think would be a great addition to what Auburn wants to do. You know, with that kind of spread out style on offense. Wendell Green Jr. from Eastern Kentucky, I think even though he's not getting talked about a ton, he is one of the most exciting mid-major players in the country. Tore it up this season for Eastern Kentucky in the OVC as a freshman. Plays fast, forces turnovers, can
he's,
score at all.
He seems levels. Like he would make a lot of sense to a team looking in, you know, for a point guard right now.
Oh, for sure, 100%. And so that's another option to keep your eye on. And then, you know, of course, not a portal thing, but can Auburn stay in the hunt for Ty Washington, or will that be kind of more of a Western spot for him? And I mean, Scoot Henderson sounds like he's leaving the door open that he could reclassify and play. His college ball starting in 2021. So that, I think, there's so many really good options still out there. And even though, you know, places like Alabama have started to rack up recently, and others are getting big name guys and transfers, some guys that Auburn wanted, there's still plenty of big name targets out there for Auburn. So I think they're in a really good spot.
Something we were talking about a little yesterday, though, Justin, is if Scoot Henderson takes his time, and there's no reason for him not to. I mean, what I was hearing, I guess, Tuesday and yesterday is that he might do something by this summer. Well, Auburn can't wait for other players. They can't put everyone else on permahold. Mm-hmm. So I would still expect Auburn to pursue a player or two regardless. And then if Scoot Henderson decides to reclassify, still let him know that they absolutely have a spot for him.
Yeah, and I think Scoot's game is interesting because, you know, he's a point guard, but you could see him playing at the two. He's a little mm-hmm. bit on the taller end of the spectrum for point guards. He's a slasher. He loves to, you know, play above the rim, and his dunks are, you know, a really, really high, you know, part of his game. But he's also a pretty good shooter as well. And you could see him kind of working in a two-point guard or a two-guard backcourt where he's not necessarily the primary ball handler. So if you go get a guy like Wendell Green, if you go get a guy like Xavier Pinson, and Scoot Henderson decides he wants to come to Auburn right now, if that ends up being the case, I think it could definitely work because, you know, you get a point guard, you know, you get a point guard who could be your starter, whether it's one of those options we just said, maybe a guy like Zepp Jasper as well working into some playing time. You need more depth, right? You can't just, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, kind of, you know, fell apart in that aspect last season. And so if you get a guy like Scoot, I think he could play the one or the two. I think Jasper could play the one or the two. And I think some of these guys that Auburn's targeting that have point guard versatility could also help you out there. So I definitely agree. I think I'd be surprised if Scoot Henderson doesn't end up a Tiger, and it's just going to be a matter of when and not if. But even if he came in now and you already got a big name transfer at the point guard spot, I think there's still definitely easy ways to get him on the floor and get him involved, just considering what Auburn's lost in the backcourt this offseason.
Yeah, one of the things we were talking about is that, you know, the days of thinking about you're really stockpiling and playing for the future, those days are gone. I mean, because you cannot count on having anyone for any length of time, whether they're looking to go to the league or not getting enough minutes and thinking about entering the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy considering the fact that in college basketball, you have 13 scholarship guys, but you don't really, I mean, no one plays a 13-man rotation. No one even comes close to playing that. I mean, Bruce Pearl plays one of the deeper rotations of good quality teams in college basketball at the power conference level, and yet he doesn't even get near that number, right? So I think that's something to keep in mind, is that it's such a balance that you have to hit. It reminds me a lot of the way you recruit quarterbacks in college football. Now, you want a really good one every class, but you know that only one of them can be playing at a time. There's only so many minutes to go around, so to speak, in that aspect. But you get them and you just find the one that sticks, have backups in case it gets hurt or whatever happens there, and know that guys are going to move on. You're going to have attrition. I think college basketball deals with that at a wider level. And then on top of the fact, like you said, guys can go to the league right away. Like, nobody really thought Isaac Okoro was a one-and-done guy. Sharif Cooper wasn't a guaranteed one-and-done guy, but here they are. They're gone. We'll see what happens moving forward with Auburn recruiting guys like that, but it's just something you got to be prepared for.
Yeah, and you don't even know about JT Thor.
Right, exactly. if there's enough, you know, NBA teams that tell him what he wants to hear, whatever that is, you know, he'll go. He'll go play professional basketball because, you know, his statement and everything you know about JT Thor is this is a guy who wants to provide for his family, and he left Alaska during high school to go play basketball away from his family in hopes of becoming an NBA player one day. And so if the NBA is going to give him that opportunity right now, and it's a money value or whatever that makes sense for him, he'll go ahead and do it. And I would not be surprised if he stays in if enough teams said it, because maybe there's a playoff team that's picking towards the end of the first round that wants to steal a lottery-type talent and just have him a year early and get him to develop him on their own terms.
And when it's a pressing financial situation like that too, you know, you remember that there's professional basketball outside the NBA, and you know, you could still make a living that could change your family's life, you know, in a professional basketball league other than the NBA. And somebody like JT Thor, who's been, you know, he's been around the country, and he has you know, his parents have been around the world, and that would that would suggest, maybe, you know, it might not just be the NBA as far as his goals for the short term and the long term. As for the Auburn football team, the spring practice getting back underway this week. You and the rest of the Auburn beat got a chance to talk with Auburn's position coaches for the first time since this staff was assembled by Brian Harsin. You had the offensive coaches on Monday, defensive coaches on Wednesday. Let's start with the offensive coaches. What stood out to you from Monday's conversations with the offensive staff?
I think the thing that stood out to me the most was kind of the bluntness from two position coaches, one of them being Cornelius Williams, the other one being Will Friend. They're like, hey, guys, like, we got a long way to go with our groups. For Will Friend, it is, you know, getting pass protection, finding the right five, knowing the fact that, you know, a guy like Brandon Council is not going to be here, you know, out there until fall camp in terms of practicing. And, like, they know they've got a long way to go with that group, and he was very honest about that. For Cornelius Williams, it's, hey, we've got depth at wide receiver, we've got talent, we've got no experience. And he said, you know, what you have to do when you don't have a whole lot of experience and game experience between now and the start of the season, you got to do every little thing right to get your guys ready, because it is a grueling slate in the SEC, especially when you're trying to build up a new offense with a quarterback that needs to take that step forward, and you just don't have a ton of experience there. So I thought that was pretty refreshing to hear coaches just be very honest about where their guys are at right now. And, you know, guys aren't going to, you know, necessarily say they're not going to sunshine pump this time of year, and they're going to always say there's stuff they can get better. You'll hear that from any coach at any time of the year. But I thought just that perspective from those two guys being pretty blunt about it and saying, look, like, we've got a lot of work to do with this group, I think kind of lays out the challenges for each of those positions, and also shows that, hey, man, you've got a lot of time and a lot of work left to be done. I mean, we're not, you know, we're less than 5 months away from the season starting. That's still a pretty good bit of time.
But you're just over a week away from the end of spring practice, and what I thought was going to be, and I mean still very well could be, a very important scrimmage, weather permitting, this weekend.
Yeah, I did too, and I'll be very curious to see what happens there, because if they have to move to the indoor, what does that look like? That seems pretty much a guarantee at this point. I was hoping, you know, maybe we could get a good look at that. It seems like weather might prevent that from happening. But yeah, this is a big one, because I think they came back from the break, and we heard some coaches talk about it, about their individual groups, saying, like, we might move some dudes around. It might be, you know, tackle switching sides, guard switching sides, moving guys around on the defense, giving them different looks at different places. They kind of stuck to, hey, here's what you know, and let's show the fundamentals and the base from those similar positions that you've played before, what we're going to do now. And then they were going to kind of mix and match and experiment a little bit more in the second half. So this scrimmage, I thought, was going to be a big one to kind of really see, you know, if guys can kind of make their first big impacts and maybe some new spots. So I'll be very curious to hear how they handle that, considering it's going to rain a lot this weekend around here.
And then Wednesday, the defensive coaches spoke to the media for the first time since the staff was fully assembled. Bill and I were talking earlier. We were impressed by Nick Eason, who mm-hmm. we had to play some of that audio.
Burt Watts
earlier in the week, but Burt Watts I don't know
Justin, any of those guys that if you were an athlete, you wouldn't be excited about playing for. I mean, they all have so much energy.
Yeah, and I think the Burt Watts and Nick Eason crossover is really fun. Like, those are the two guys that compete to be the most energetic coaches out there. They, you know, are doing pass rushing moves on each other in the hallway outside the coaches' offices. And they have a lot of crossover in their position groups. Like, those edge guys work mm-hmm. with Nick Eason, you know, an established NFL defensive line coach, and learn how to be better pass rushers and how to be you know, better in third down situations. And some of those guys kind of move back and forth, and you see – that kind of versatility, I think, is going to be big, you know, especially if you move a defensive end out to the outside a little bit. You know, Burt Watts can teach him how to do a better job of dropping back into coverage and doing different things that those outside linebackers are doing. And that energy, that juice, getting excited to play for these guys, I think is big, because this defensive front has a lot of talent and there's a lot of strengths of the group. But we all know that the last few seasons they have not been the best pass rushing unit in the world, and Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson, as good as those guys are, they covered up for a lot of those deficiencies. And last year we saw that in pretty stark terms. So Derrick Hall, Colby Wooden, you know, Zacchavius Walker, Stone Handy, there's a lot of dudes on this team that are very, very good up front and who can get after the quarterback and get into the backfield. But I think it's just going to be a matter of, can they do that in this new system at a much higher rate on a more consistent basis? Eason and Watts look like two guys, you know, former NFL position coach, former defensive coordinator. I think they're in pretty good hands, and they've got a lot of talent to work with.
Justin Ferguson, outstanding stuff as always. Before we let you go, tell everybody about how they can find what it is you're doing at The Observer.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. Check us out there. We had a premium podcast go up this afternoon where we talked about a lot of the stuff with Auburn football. Myself and Painter Sharpless also had a story up today on the takeaways from these defensive meetings. Mailbag coming up tomorrow. You know, we'll be TBD over the weekend to see what we get and what kind of access we get from this final weekend before the 8A game, but we'll have another podcast up over the weekend. And everything I write about Auburn football and Auburn men's basketball is on auburnobserver.com. $6 a month or $60 a year. You sign up there and you pay your subscription, and we will get all that sent into your email inbox.
Great stuff, Justin, man. We really appreciate it. Hopefully it doesn't get too wet and we get a chance to see some more and find out some more this weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Hopefully we'll see you there, Bill.
All right, take care, man.
Yes, sir.
Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer joining us. We need to get to our final break. Justin Rose closing strong today in round one of the Masters. We'll update you on that and more as we wind it down for hour number one of the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron, ESPN 106.7. The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final couple of minutes of hour number one of the Thursday Drive. Our thanks to Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer for joining us. As I mentioned, as we're going to break, Justin Rose closing strong here on the on his final nine today. As when we started talking with Justin, he was 4-under through 14. He's 6-under through 16 right now, and a 3-stroke lead over Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama. A handful of other golfers under par, but quite a few others still with plenty of holes left to play today. So round one of the Masters under gorgeous conditions. It's looking pretty iffy for the next couple of days all across the South.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to get that in without some disruption. And I know we were talking with Jason Caldwell about it yesterday, that's going to be for CBS, you know, not having Masters Sunday be the climactic event. You know, if weather can delay that, it'll be bad news for viewership. But yeah, hopefully they can get it in. We can get some quality golf this weekend.
We talked a good bit about basketball recruiting. Hey, some updates when we come back. And of course your phone calls. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind, sports-wise, as we're halfway done here on the Thursday Drive.
Sports capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of The Drive on this nice-looking Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan back with you from the WOW Business Studio.
That's right, and you can get 2 months free on super-fast business internet when you switch to WOW. Details at switchtowowbusiness.com.
Hour number two of The Drive brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. And we welcome your calls, questions, comments on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and where the number to get you through, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind sports-wise? We're keeping an eye, of course, on round one of the Masters over in Augusta, where Justin Rose right now has doubled the best scores in the field to this point.
Yeah.
6-under par as he plays 17. And Brian Harman and Hideki Matsuyama are 3-under with six other golfers. No, it looks like 8, 9, 10, 7 others that are under par.
Yeah, it's when we started the show, it seemed like it was a lot more bunched up, you know, but there was very little daylight between mm-hmm. even par and the leader. Now with Justin Rose, I mean, there's no one really. I mean, there'd be within striking distance, but I mean, striking distance in this case, you know, four shots.
He's now 7 under.
Yeah,
he's birdieing 17.
Yeah, he's at 7 under. He's, you know, four shots up on Harmon and Matsuyama, and yeah, I mean, if it's you got work to do if you're in this field now with Justin Rose playing this well, and you gotta. You know, step it up and hope he cools off, or this thing could be you could spend all weekend just coordinating Rose as the Masters champion.
Things do have a habit of changing drastically, though. You don't see many guys get out to a big early lead and just run with it and run away. But yeah, with the crazy weather that could be in store too, I mean. Every shot could be precious.
I believe the low round of the week over under was 65.5. So if Rose were to finish off,
if he pars right now, he's got a 65.
He would 65, so he would hit the under that for whatever the low round was going to be all weekend in Augusta.
Yeah, how about that? So we'll keep an eye on that. We'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports wise, we talked a good bit about basketball because there's some news today. Namari Burnett, a former McDonald's All-American transferring from Texas Tech, announced he is headed to Alabama.
And I think we're going to see a lot of I think the days and weeks immediately following the national championship game in college basketball from now on might be a time when you see a flurry of activity. You know, where teams, especially with veterans, with guys in the portal, deciding whether or not they're going to go pro, and if they're coming back to college, where are they going to play?
Well, I'll tell you another reason why. Because next Wednesday is the first day of the next signing period for high school and junior college players. So schools are letting players know, hey, if you want to come here, let us know so we'll know how many spots we have.
Right. There may not be a spot for you next week.
Right.
There's a spot for you now.
You don't quite say it like that to a former 4 or 5 star, but you let them know, hey, we want to be fair to everyone we're recruiting. Sure. And so that we know, so that everyone knows the situation we have on our roster.
Maybe there's some more salesmanship. Maybe there's a little more diplomacy involved with high-level college basketball coaches and the players they're trying to sign. But that's the general idea, isn't it, right? I mean, we need to know now because a week from now, our status might be our needs might be different as a program. Our status, you know, as far as our interest in you could change.
Well, it's also the best way to be fair to those other players you're recruiting that are high school and junior college players, because let everyone know if we're recruiting them, for us to be able to let them know, hey, we're bringing in a transfer here too. So, I mean, we'll see. Yeah, but I agree with you. I think a lot of players, we're hearing this. You know, there's been talk Walker Kessler's going to do something this weekend. Noah Gurley's going to do something this weekend. Xavier Pinson, Myron Jones go to Florida yesterday.
I've been accused of being too much of a wet blanket on this Walker Kessler thing, you know, from people who are very confident that he's coming to Auburn.
But, yes, let's credit Jeffrey Lee, who's put a bunch of things together in an update here this afternoon. He says, he quoted sources as saying, Gonzaga is out. Apparently, Walker Kessler did not have a Zoom interview with Gonzaga yesterday. There'd been talk that it could be pushed back to tomorrow. But Jeffrey is saying he's hearing the Zags are out, and it's either Auburn or a return to North Carolina.
Right, and Hubert Davis singled out Walker Kessler at the introductory press conference as a player that he wants to bring back to North Carolina. And I'm just that seemed like a distinct possibility, you know, especially with the reports of a frayed relationship between Roy Williams and Walker Kessler mm-hmm. towards the end, and that strange Dan Wolken sort of comment about people close to Roy Williams treating Walker Kessler announcing that he's leaving after his freshman year as sort of the, you know, it was the last straw for Roy Williams to in college basketball, but it's yeah I'm I mean, I'm not in the prediction game. I don't know what these guys are going to do. I could see the story ending with Walker Kessler back in North Carolina.
How bad would that hurt to lose to the same school twice? I mean, sometimes you might come in second on a player originally, and then if he transfers, second again. But to come in second at the same school twice.
Were you kidding around about the Hubert Davis, Walker Kessler thing?
No. I mean, at least I read that he was a big factor in describing how he would be used at North Carolina. Then he wasn't.
Interesting. Okay, so you would certainly like North Carolina's chances more with a new coach than had they, you know, if it were still Roy Williams in charge, and if they promoted a coach that was heavily involved in Kessler's recruitment, and that coach is now, you know, taking the opportunity very early in his tenure as the coach to single out Walker Kessler as a priority this offseason. Yeah, I could see this ending with Walker Kessler back at North Carolina.
But I think that this will be done most likely by the end of the weekend. So we will see there. We've also heard, you know, Noah Gurley, the transfer, the power forward from Furman, will make a decision public by the end of the weekend as well. Although the latest word seems like he is headed to Alabama. We've talked about a couple of guards. Xavier Pinson, now I believe Jeffrey said yesterday he thinks Auburn is no longer really pursuing Xavier Pinson, but he does feel very good about one of the players that Justin Ferguson mentioned just a few minutes ago, and that's Wendell Green Jr. from Eastern Kentucky, who is a freshman All-American, the leading scorer for Eastern Kentucky. Put up tremendous numbers as a true freshman for a 22-7 Eastern Kentucky team. This was not a terrible team that had to have a freshman come in and put up the kind of numbers he did, averaging nearly 16 points, 5 rebounds, shooting 36% from three-point range, 77% free throws.
Yeah, it's a good league too. I mean, the Ohio Valley is a place where you get a couple of different programs that can pop up and surprise you. Jacksonville State had a good team a couple of years ago, and I know Belmont can play some basketball. Wendell Green, I mean, impressive numbers from his freshman year, and I'd like to see what he can do against a step up in competition from the OVC to the SEC, and it would certainly fill a need for Auburn as they look at the backcourt right now and think they could use some experience.
That sure tells you that both Wendell Green and Auburn, among other schools, are not concerned about the NCAA not granting immediate eligibility, I would think.
No, I don't think
he was a true freshman.
I don't think you're seeing very much movement around the country right now from guys that think they're going to be ineligible next year.
They're not making this move planning on sitting out.
I mean, we talked about Justin Powell earlier. I don't think Justin Powell is going to Tennessee expecting to sit out next year. I imagine that if Walker Kessler leaves North Carolina, wherever he goes, he expects to have immediate eligibility right now, and that goes for pretty much everyone who is an underclassman trying to switch schools in college basketball right now. Certainly seems like either we're going to have a ton of players ineligible next year while they spend a year sitting out, or something's going to give regarding the rules of eligible transfers.
334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline, and let's get to the phone, and Brett gets us started this hour. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. The deal with Hubert Davis, it would be very odd for Kessler to go back because he was the lead assistant. I mean, yeah, Williams was the head coach, but he had a whole heck of a lot of pull and who played and who didn't. And there's no question about that. And Kessler knew. I mean, Kessler knew when he left, there were no big men returning in North Carolina. He was it.
Mm-hmm.
So playing time, he was going to get playing time. He was going to get it, and Hubert Davis had a lot to do with him not playing. I mean, he sat right there next to Roy Williams. He was the man.
Oh, certainly. And I didn't really, even when the news came out that Roy Williams was retiring, and then the news that, that Hubert Davis had gotten the job, I really didn't consider the possibility of North Carolina as a Walker Kessler contender until Hubert Davis made the comments at the press conference about that being a priority for him now that he had officially become the new North Carolina coach. And that's, I mean, it's an intriguing development. I'd be shocked if Walker Kessler had come back with Roy Williams still there at North Carolina. I think maybe a new regime, even if it's a, you know, promote from within situation, maybe a new regime gives them a better chance. But yeah, I mean,
it would still be a surprise.
But if Hubert Davis was making the decision not to utilize Walker Kessler in a certain way or not to play him as much as Kessler wanted to or whatever the situation there is, it's strange to then single him out as a priority at your introductory press conference.
Well, Dan, that they didn't just start at the press conference. They've been after him, trying to get him back the whole time. I mean, it didn't start that day. I mean, North Carolina's been on him every day.
Well, I don't doubt. I don't blame him. I mean, who would want to let a player like that go?
I don't either. He was their only returning big man who was, you know, going to do anything. I mean, he was the deal. I mean, their fans are just about. They were doomsday. I mean, they were so low on the program the day after. It was unbelievable. But Auburn already, even if four leaves, with what we, even if today or this week they only got Desi Sills, Auburn is a much better team than they were last year. I mean, there's no question that Jabari is not just better, he's a good bit better than Cole was last year. I mean, Jabari, you pretty much penciling him down for at least 15 and 7, and he's not a turnover machine either.
Yeah, of course, remember, JT was going to be a top 10 player for this coming year, you know, last year.
But I'm just comparing to what we had last year. I mean, as far as Auburn trying to keep up with the conference, the difference in a 7-11 and 11-17 is one player. Or just one player being a good bit better. And Auburn's going to be better, as it stands right now, if they just got Desi Sills, much better at the guard position. I mean, please remember, Powell and Sharif only played, 22 and a half games, none together?
Right. Hey, I wonder, Brett, if Auburn gets Wendell Green tomorrow, will they still go after Desi Sills?
I have no idea about that, but you know, Auburn doesn't need to worry about what everybody else is doing. Auburn just needs to get good players. Auburn doesn't even need to get great players. Last year's problem, we had nobody who could handle the ball. Auburn couldn't get a shot off many times down court. And then the other team was running the other way, laying it up. Auburn just needs to worry about Auburn. We'll be fine.
No, and that's, you know, that's appreciate the phone calls from Brett there. I mean, good stuff. But the, you know, that's sort of what's reassuring about if Auburn can land Wendell Green is, regardless of what other changes are made to the roster, it's a veteran point guard that you,
right,
that you can, you know, you can feel. Although he's only played 1 year of college basketball, but it's a guy who's played a lot of minutes running an offense and is more comfortable than some of the options last year were with the ball in their hands.
Well, you'd have if you add Wendell Green, you've got Wendell Green and Zepp Jasper that you brought in that have experience running the point, and Jasper, of course, has played both the point and the two.
So let's say you have if you get those
looking for a shooter.
If you get those two and you return Flanagan, are you looking for one more guard?
I still think so. I think so.
And
obviously, I mean, Scoot would be at the top of your list.
Kessler? Question mark?
I mean, no. I still think because you've got a question about JT.
Yeah.
I still think you want another
Sills?
Big.
Is that where Sills would? Is that where Desi Sills would maybe come into play? You know, I mean, I don't know if three guards isn't out of the question, is it, in the transfer portal? I mean,
well, if you get two and then Scoot reclassifies,
do you think Scoot's reclassifying?
You get three. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. There sure seemed to be a lot of excitement last week that he was about to do it, but the quotes coming from him and his family seem like there's no hurry. There's no rush for him to do that. So we'll see. And the other thing to keep in mind is if he reclassifies, he could reclassify and go to the G League. Remember, we've seen that. We just saw that last year.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that last year. We saw high school seniors commit to play for colleges and then change their mind and go into the G League. So I mean, even that's a completely different obstacle course that you're going to have to cross. You know, once you've signed these kids, you know, keeping them committed and stiff arming the G League, you know, until the term starts is a completely different game of recruiting. But you know, I could see Auburn. I mean, if Scoot Henderson isn't coming this year, if he's not reclassifying,
mm-hmm.
Wendell Green, Zepp Jasper, Desi Sills, Anthony, and Alan Flanagan, and maybe Chris Moore playing some minutes too. Like that's
Devin Cambridge
and Devin Cambridge.
He's a wing.
Yeah, but I mean that those four and maybe Chris Moore a little bit as well as your options.
Trey Alexander.
And there's Trey Alexander. Yeah, who I did
that's,
forget.
That's why I'm wondering. I don't know that you're targeting two more guards.
So maybe. If a Wendell Green commitment takes a spot away from Desi Still.
That's what I'm wondering. That's why I asked that, just thinking out loud with Brett. I mean, the first one they get of these guys, and then obviously you hold a spot in case Scoot reclassifies.
You want to play some Cadillac?
Sure, let's do that. We'll go ahead and get to our first break here. Your calls come first, though, 334-321-1390, as we continue here on the Thursday Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 21 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Thursday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Got Drew at the controls, as usual. And let's get to the phones. Get back to the phones. The Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. And Shadow is up next. Hey, Shadow.
Hey, Shadow.
Hey, guys. Thank y'all for taking the call. How many scholarships do we have to give in basketball?
I believe Auburn has three. Well, yeah, I believe that's what it is right now. Maybe just two, but they've got at least two. Some of it's going to depend on, you know, did JT Thor and Alan Flanagan come back? But I'm thinking they'll have at least two. More.
Okay. So just give me your guess, your and Dan's guess. Y'all just give me your feeling about who you think we're going to get.
I still think Auburn is going to get Walker Kessler.
I'm a little more pessimistic on that one. Not based on any sort of inside info or anything. Like I don't know what he's going to do. I'm weary of the push by North Carolina.
Weary?
Yes,
weary is you're tired.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm
weary.
I'm weary of it. I'm tired about it. I'm tired about it too.
Yeah. All right.
And there's
very
also
very rare that I get to correct any grammar from
weary Dan. Weary rare. Yeah. So it's
but no, I mean I agree with what Brett said though, that it would seem less likely that he'd go back and play for someone who was sitting there on the bench and had a lot of input into this past season where he was not happy at North Carolina.
We know Auburn's going to get Zepp Jasper, the College of Charleston guard.
And Jeffrey Lee is very, very strong in his feelings that Auburn gets a commitment from Wendell Green, a freshman point guard. He was a freshman All-American this past year at Eastern Kentucky. I'd say those are your most likely additions to the roster. Those two, Kessler and Green, in addition to Jasper, is already committed.
What, did you say Wendell Green?
Yes.
I I haven't heard that name. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, he was a true freshman this past year at Eastern Kentucky. They were 22-7. He led the team in scoring. Shot 36% from three-point range, 77% from the free throw line, averaged 5 assists a game. I mean, a highlight machine, very quick. Now, he's not the biggest guy. He's 5'10", 5'11", super quick, really good shooter and scorer and passer as well. Really fits, I think, with what Bruce Pearl likes to do offensively. Also had averaged a couple of steals a game as well. So, no, he's a guy that's probably of scoring point guards in the pool, and he's a guy that's a freshman, so he has more eligibility left. I think that would be a big, big pickup for Auburn, even though he's not the biggest player physically.
Okay, who do you think will be our top two guards?
Well, if you sign Wendell Green, it all depends. It's all going to depend on, does Scoot Henderson reclassify or does he go back to school for his senior year? If he reclassifies, it's going to be really difficult for him not to be one of your top two guards. Then I mean, you've got the return of Alan. If Alan Flanagan comes back, he's got to be up there. But then Trey Alexander is a super stud coming. And Auburn's going to have a really good situation at guard this coming year.
I could see it being Wendell Green and Alan Flanagan, though. I could see that being the answer to your question, yeah. Shadow.
Okay, changing topics. Who's leading the Masters?
Justin Rose.
Justin Rose running away with it in the back nine on opening day.
What's the score?
He's 7-under. Well, he shot a 65. He's done for the day with a 65.
That's right.
And he's got a 4-stroke lead right now over anybody else who's finished. Well, over anybody else, period.
Where's Justin Thomas?
Justin is still out there. Let's see where he is right now.
I've got him at a +2 through 14.
Yeah, because, yeah, he's somebody I had talked about as well. Yeah.
Well, I don't sound too good.
Justin is in a big, big crowd at +2. But hey, it's early. Things can change quite a bit.
But if you're rooting for anyone but Justin Rose right now, it doesn't sound too good because he's
9 strokes off the pace. Right now.
I mean, yeah, he's doing really, really good work in the first day.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it, Chato. 334-321-1390.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reluctant to offer like really firm predictions of what's going to happen with the basketball transfer portal, right? Because I mean, yeah. you don't know what's. I mean there are rumors, but I mean, and in the case of Auburn, if you're talking about next year's team, the decisions that Walker Kessler and Scoot Henderson have to make seem like they could have they'll have an outsized effect on what this roster looks like.
Yeah. Now, but again, the report from Jeffrey Lee, I have a feeling, I mean, especially since he feels strongly that Wendell Green is going to make an announcement tomorrow, that he's probably got pretty good intel.
Wendell Green just sent out a tweet.
Oh yeah,
and it's the familiar words of Malik Dunbar. As he tweeted out just about 20 minutes ago, Justin Ferguson shared this. About that time, the only words from Wendell Green there on Twitter.
Yeah, so I think he has probably let some people know where he is going to be announcing tomorrow.
No, it seems like that's could be dropping a hint for the Auburn faithful that he could be the next addition to the basketball team.
334-321-1390. We'd love for you to join in. Yes, if we get a chance in the final couple of segments, we'll run some Carnell Williams as Cadillac spent some time with the media back on Monday. Again, man, you know that Auburn football and Auburn baseball are hoping the weather holds out, because this is a big weekend for both.
And we can talk about this a little bit more on the other side of the break, but what did you think of Jason Caldwell yesterday?
Always saying a lot that, of Jason.
Well, specifically, I mean, no, Jason was great. And you know what? If you missed Jason yesterday, you can catch it on the podcast. Podcast of the Drive are available wherever you listen to podcasts. Podcast Center at ESPNAU.com, the ESPN 106.7 app, Apple, Google, Spotify, all presented by the Alabama Farmers Federation. Visit alphafarmers.org to find out more about the ag tag. But no, what Jason said yesterday about Auburn maybe pursuing a veteran receiver or veteran running back in the transfer portal yesterday.
Well, we've talked about running back. Hadn't really talked about receiver, but I can understand that if there's someone out there who you feel like could sort of take some of the younger guys under his wing, because Auburn does not have, I mean, there's Shedrick Jackson is the only guy who has been a receiver for a while. I mean, the only other upperclassman is Kalen Newton, who's still just wrapping up his first year ever playing receiver.
And Jason's point at running back is, you know, you have three guys behind Tank Bigsby. Are any of them guys that you think could step in and be an every down running back if called upon, or does Auburn need to go try to find somebody who could fit that role more cleanly?
Oh, yeah. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Still time for you to join in. And as we said, we'll run some audio if we don't have calls. So come on in and join us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan here in the WOW Business Studio. And let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. And Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Dan. How are y'all today?
Doing all right, Terry. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to y'all as well. Guys, one of the things I always admired about Gus Malzahn, which wasn't much, but it's something, he always forced Nick Saban to do something he didn't want to do. And that's the way you beat Nick Saban. If you're going to line up and play big boy football, mano a mano, man on man type thing, he's going to beat you every time. Just ask Kirby Smart. What does Brian Harsin do differently that's going to allow him to compete with that?
That's a good question.
We keep talking about him improving the offensive and defensive line. We all can agree they need to improve.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. He was the guy that was responsible for the call there in the bowl game. I don't know. I do say he really appears to know exactly where he wants to get to, how he wants to get there, But it's going to be interesting to see if he can indeed do something to make Nick Saban react differently than he does most of the time.
Well, Bill, wasn't you the guy that said he can't out Alabama, and he can't do that? That's just not going to happen.
No, you're right.
We can all agree. I said it. Reiterate. The lines need to improve. We all know that. But if you're going to line up play big boy football against Alabama and Georgia, you're going to get beat. It's that simple. Not necessarily Georgia, but Alabama for sure. So I just kind of wondered, because I thought Gus did a really good job at that, you know, regardless of some of the other things I didn't like about him and some of the things he did, he seemed stubborn in ways. But he really did do that. And I think, personally speaking, I think the quarterback's got to be a true run threat to beat Nick Saban. You're not going to do it with a statue back there.
I think you have to get exceptional play from your quarterback, whether it's, you know, with his feet, when Alabama has been beaten, you generally see quarterbacks playing the best games that they've ever played. They're either spectacularly accurate or they're making big plays with their feet, but they are making the deciding plays. The quarterbacks are doing
that. That's a good point, Bill. What was the quarterback at South Carolina played the game of his life?
Garcia, wasn't it?
Yes, Stephen Garcia, yeah, that's it. So I just wondered that because we've heard very little about that. And we honestly, I don't think any of us know what to expect. I mean, that's with no spring last year and
Now, I'll tell you what, if the weather holds up, we'll have a better idea if we get to watch the scrimmage on Saturday.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. It just to me, you know, we were discussing it today in a group of us, and you just can't beat Nick Saban straight up. You're not going to do it because he's going to get the best players, and you just can't compete with that. I mean, that's just going to happen. I mean, and truth be known about it, when Alabama has lost, they usually did something to contribute to their own loss. So you got to hope they make a mistake or something, or a bunch of penalties or something, a turnover or two.
Well, on the other hand, though, Terry, I don't think you can try to just trick Alabama into wins. You better be able to do some things very well and hope that matches up well with an area where Alabama is not at its strongest.
I mean, if you go back to the losses for Alabama in recent years, and there aren't very many of them, right? But like, I'm not sure LSU in 2019, you know, they needed a ton of deception to beat Alabama.
No, they had a great quarterback.
They had a great quarterback and a great offense. The Clemson team that blew Alabama out in the championship game with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, and those, by the way, weren't terribly mobile guys either. And Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow, who had that great success against Nick Saban and Alabama in recent years. But I would agree, Terry. I mean, I think that trying to it's the Oakland A's approach, right? I mean, trying to out Yankees the Yankees is just going to, you know, result in you having an inferior team trying to play the same style and losing. So, but Brian Harsin had to play. I mean, he was outgunned quite a bit, maybe not in conference at Boise State, but he was having to face off against Power 5 teams with more resources and more highly touted recruits. And he had to find a way to, with scheme and with finding the right players, he had to find a way to neutralize their advantage. I mean, he went to Tallahassee and beat Florida State, which is something that Boise State, even with Florida State on hard times, these last couple of years, it's not something that should happen.
Dan, I'm not sure how you and Bill feel about this, but I thought Trevor Lawrence's running ability was really underrated. I thought he was a better scrambler than people thought he was.
Well, yeah, but he didn't.
He kind of looked like he didn't
want
really
to
like
run, though.
But you of all people, Terry, understand there's a difference between a quarterback with some scrambling ability and a quarterback looking to run,
right?
Constantly. Like I would agree, Trevor Lawrence presents some threat, but I wouldn't describe him as a guy looking to run quite a bit. I mean,
no, they don't have designed plays where 10 plus times a game they want him to run the ball.
You know who you reminded me of, Bill, a little bit is not necessarily his quarterback, but the way he runs. Remember the quarterback at Arkansas? I think his name was Matt Jones.
Yeah,
he looked like that.
Matt Jones ran a 4.4 at 6'6".
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is the fact that they're both 6'6" white guys with blonde hair, right? Like long blonde hair. I mean,
Jones in his wildest dreams would love to be able to pass like Trevor Lawrence, but a great athlete.
Yeah, Matt
was.
Jones was a first round draft pick as a receiver. I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence can be. I wonder how much of that is just the similarity in hairstyles.
Their running styles is what I'm pointing to. There's no comparison at all quarterback wise, and as far as the hair goes, he's going to go to Jacksonville, which is going to be the end of his career anyway. So I mean, name me some guys who had luck in Jacksonville. I mean, for consistent luck. I'm not talking about 1 year wonders.
But Brunell probably was the last. Like Brunell was the last quarterback that like had several years in a row. I mean, I guess David Garrard, you know, but that wasn't really. I mean, that was pretty uneven. And since then, I mean, they've been. They're one of these NFL teams that they've been looking for the guy at quarterback for decades, plural.
Well, I tell you, Jacksonville's a nice area, but I wouldn't want to be going there to play ball.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if I. And we appreciate the phone call, Terry. I don't know if Urban Meyer takes that job, right? If you don't think that there's, I mean, the owners have committed to.
He doesn't like to win and lose.
Yeah, this isn't Spurrier.
He's
got
to think he's got a chance to win.
I mean, this yeah, I don't know. Like that to me was, and I understand skepticism of the Jaguars as a franchise. They haven't succeeded very much since entering the NFL. But with. You know, the right coach and the right quarterback, especially the right quarterback, can change everything about an NFL franchise, right? What were the Patriots before Brady as a championship franchise? Like, let's be honest. And I think that while his point stands about Jacksonville, if Trevor Lawrence is the real deal, it could change everything about the Jacksonville Jaguars franchise. I mean, we've seen that a couple of times with quarterbacks who not single-handedly, but you know, with their body of work, whether it's Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, Drew Brees in New Orleans, right? I mean, that franchise is that franchise is the what New Orleans was with Drew Brees at quarterback is decidedly different from what the New Orleans Saints were.
Oh,
I mean, and could Trevor Lawrence show up and do that to Jacksonville? Quite possibly.
That's what they hope.
Quite possibly. I wouldn't rule it out because I've seen other quarterbacks do it.
334-321-1390. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get to our final break of the afternoon. And if we have time, we'll run some Carnell Williams talking with the media on Monday. Stick with us here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. Let's get back to The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon with Bill and Dan. And while we've got a little bit of time, yeah, we wanted to run some more audio. Let me remind you quickly, though, that tomorrow we've talked a good bit of basketball today. Tomorrow, again, our all-star basketball lineup as Sonny Smith and Joe Champy should be joining us tomorrow. So looking forward to that. But as we said, you know, we had a chance to talk with defensive coaches yesterday, offensive assistants on Monday, including former, you know, Auburn superstar Cadillac Williams.
Well, I mean, one of the standard bearers at running back, and you know,
absolutely,
in this, you know, not just for Auburn, but in the SEC and in recent college football history. I mean, this guy was incredible and had that great rookie season in Tampa as well, and has been, yeah, he's a beloved figure in Auburn lore, and he's and he's really impressed people with his work as a position coach these last couple of years. Stayed on staff with Harsin getting the job. First time we got to talk to Cadillac since he
that is right. Yeah. And so here is some of the time that we had with Carnell Williams on Monday.
What was the first part of that question? I kind of...
Too long, I'm sorry. The first part of it was just kind of the experiences you've been through since December and the coach change and then waiting to find out about what the staff was going to look like.
Well, you know, just to have the, you know, what transpired in December, you know, it was tough, and I think the toughest thing about it was the uncertainty of not knowing. You know, of course, you know, once Allen decided to go that, you know, different direction, you know, it affects a lot of people's lives, you know, from not only coaches, but, you know, you have GA analysts, so... You know, just my 2 years being here, being part of this staff with Coach Malzahn, those other coaches, you just have a concern for not only yourself, but their families and the directions of, you know, where we gonna go as a university. You know, myself, of course, with Amir, a guy who has played here, who loves Auburn. So it's kind of twofold for me where, you know, you want the best, truly want the best for Auburn. But, you know, at the same time, you know, not knowing where your future hold with Auburn was kind of nerve-wracking. But, thank God, Coach Harsin. You know, I think it was a great hire. Gave me opportunity to come back and to continue to have an impact, and just, you know, just some of my early stuff on Coach Harsin, man. I think sky's the limit for Coach Harsin, also this staff. wow, I think the future is bright. He's a hard nosed coach who believes in, you know, discipline, who believes in just building young men, not only on the field but also off the field, man. I just think his structure and the way he go about things and how he is demanding but not demeaning. And I think our team, man, has honestly accepted that we're flying colors. Like, these guys want to be pushed. These guys want to plan in place that they can get on and get back to the Auburn winning ways.
Thanks.
Okay. Next, we'll go to Tom Green.
Hey, guys. TomGreenL.com. Just kind of going off that last question. You mentioned that uncertainty, but during those 2 weeks, I guess, what were those conversations like with Coach Harsin before he brought you on officially? And what's it like being, you know, the one guy that's, you know, still around from that previous staff?
Well, I think the conversations, I know when he first reached out to me, it was more or less like just getting to know me and kind of know about Auburn and the Auburn way. And then later on, I guess after the bowl game, when it was a chance he was considering me, then it, you know, it got down to more the X and O's and you know, just my philosophy. And then you know, also I think honestly with Coach Harsin, it honestly just came down, you know, to him kind of knowing that I wanted to be here at Auburn and I wanted to kind of make that step, and I was on board with, you know, turning this thing around and buying in and being a guy that's, you know, not going to be bigger than Auburn. Because, I mean, I know I have, you know, this Cadillac name, but at the end of the day, you know, I am a humble guy, man, and, you know, my relationship with these players and my and what this school means to me, I'm willing to do everything I can to get this program back to winning championships. And I think he felt that vibe from me. I think that's something that made the biggest difference.
Okay, let's go to Bill Cameron.
I like Bill Cameron with The Drive on ESPN 106.7. You've got one of the smaller rooms really around, but you've got a definitely proven commodity and Tank, and know what you have in Sean. Just talk about what you're looking for out of each of these guys, I guess Devin and Jay as well, here this spring.
I mean, honestly, right now I'm just looking for every guy in that room, man, just to continue to get better each and every day. We have a mindset, Coach Harsin, again, we want to go 1-0. And, I mean, it's that simple. You know, we want to win the day. And that's each and every day from our classroom, from the way we lift weights, from the way we, you know, in meeting room, that's going to carry over to the practice field. So, honestly, we want to win the day. Then, of course, the football side of it, man, we want to continue to grasp this offense. And we just want to bring that mentality in that RB room, man, that we're going to be a physical downhill running team. And, you know, it starts with your attitude. So we have to bring it each and every day.
Let's go to Jordan Hill.
Kind of like Jordan Hill from the Black Auburn News. I wanted to ask about Tank. We had a chance to talk to him. Just what have you seen from him this offseason and sort of what he is capable of doing this year?
I mean, skies is the limit for this young man. You know, you're talking about a guy who has a great attitude. You're talking about a guy who is chasing excellence. not only on the football field, but also off the field. I mean, just the way he treat people. You know, he don't think he's better than others. He excels in the classroom. And, man, you know, the guy is wise beyond his years where, you know, he knows that the good Lord has blessed him. So now, you know, it's his time to put in the work and kind of lead this team. Not only you know about what you say or what you but by your actions, and you know he is a guy that really right now don't say much, but he is a guy that works hard, and you know I just think for him to take that next step. You know, he just got to get more consistent. I mean, each and every day, bringing it every single day, even though days where, you know, maybe you don't feel as good or something going home back home. So basically, man, if he continue to enjoy the journey and continue to lean on others and continue to lead, Tank will be okay.
Let's go to Brian Matthews.
Hi, Cornell. How you doing?
That's some of the time we had to spend with Carnell Williams as the Tigers get ready for, hopefully, a scrimmage on Saturday. Again, fun show today. Again, we'll be watching. It'll be really interesting. There could be news tomorrow. I mean, will Auburn have an addition to their program, to the basketball team, by tomorrow? And again, speaking of basketball, looking forward to spending some time with Sonny Smith and Joe Champy tomorrow on the Friday edition of The Drive.
Yeah, love talking with Sonny now that the NCAA tournament is over, although basketball season hardly feels over because we're still talking about the comings and goings of all the
player movement that there is.
A lot of player movement. We'll talk with Sonny about that and what he thinks of the program going forward. And, of course, a lot of women's basketball news this week. We'll talk with Joe Champy about that and a whole lot more.
That's right. You know, yesterday, Jason Caldwell's birthday. Today, the happy 47th anniversary of home run number 715 today. Off Al Downing. Thank goodness we didn't have fantasy ball back then. I would have had Downing, I know. All right, that's going to wrap things up for the Thursday edition of The Drive. And, of course, hopefully good weather for day two of the Masters tomorrow. Join us tomorrow. That's going to do it for the Thursday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.